Ephesians chapter 6, if we pick up this verse in verse number 10, Ephesians 6, verse number 10, the scripture says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this opportunity and privilege, Lord, to be assembled with your house here, your church, that you've placed in here at Olmsted. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be able to meet together with your people, to worship you, to look into your word and see those things that you have for us in it. Lord, we pray now that you'd help us, that we would all lay aside the cares of life, those things that distract our hearts and minds, Father. Lord, we'd be able to lay all that aside, and we'd just hear what you have to say unto us. Lord, we'd hear you, believe you, trust you in it, Lord, and you might help us and give us grace, and we might take your word and apply it in our hearts and lives. Lord, we might live for you, and we might not sin against you, but Lord, we might be a good witness of you to each and every one that we come in contact with. Help now, we pray and bless. Father, for those that are here and not saved, Lord, we pray that even this day would be the day of their salvation. Lord, you're able. Your arm's not short and your hand's not weak, but Lord, you are mighty and able to save. And we pray, Father, that you might show sinners Jesus Christ and their great need of him, and Lord, save their souls, and they might come to you in repentance and faith as you command. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." Why? "That you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." The Lord says, and the Word of God says, that we need to put on this armor. There's an armor to put on for the child of God. And the message that, with the Lord's help this morning, that we'd like to preach, the armor of God and being entangled. The armor of God and being entangled. Here, as we take a look at this armor, in verse number 11, verse number 10, we're encouraged to stand in the power of the might of the Lord. Not in our own power, because we won't be able to stand in our own power. But we need to stand. "Finally, my brethren," verse 10, "be strong in the Lord, in the Lord's way, in the Lord's will, and in his word." That's the only thing, that only way that we can be strong is in him. It's the only way that we can be able to stand is in the Lord and in the power of his might. His might working in us. I won't be able to stand. By grit and determination and willpower, I won't make it. I won't be able to resist sin. I won't be able to resist temptation. I won't be able to go without the power of the Lord working in me. The child of God's been saved, and the Spirit of God has been given as that earnest of that, those things that we expect and those things that we look forward to. The salvation of the Lord is that Spirit of God living within. And that is the power that we need to tap into. That is the power that we need to yield to. That is the power of his might that we as the children of God need to be going by. And in verse number 11, he says, "Put on the whole armor." The whole armor, a full and complete set of armor. Not slipshod, not a piece here and a piece there, but the whole armor, because that entire armor is going to be needed. There's been many messages that have been preached about this passage, and maybe even now you're remembering some of those messages about the armor. And we got to put on all of the armor. Otherwise, we're open. Otherwise, we're vulnerable. Otherwise, we have weakness in the fight that we have. Put on this whole armor. Why? Verse 11, "that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." This word wiles, in the Greek, it's methodia, the method. The methods of Satan, his wiles, what he's going to throw at the child of God, what he's going to be dishing out. He is not eternal as far as God is eternal. The devil is not on par, because Satan was created. Now, he will live forever, but he is not on par with God. He is a created being of God, but he doesn't need to sleep. And he does have power that exceeds mine and yours. And he's been around for 6,000 years or so, working his mischief and his wickedness. He's got some methods. He's got some ways. He's got some ways of doing things. The scripture says that this wile speaks of his lying in wait, his cunning arts, his deceit, the craft and the trickery that he engages in. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it says that we don't need to be ignorant of his devices. Speaking about that one that had been dealt with by the church there in Corinth, and that one that was repentant and had turned from his sin, how he needed to be received back. And that they needed to be restored and engaged back to the body. Because through if the church would not do such a thing, when a man had become repentant of his sin and had turned from his wickedness and sin, that Satan would be about working with his devices. We need not be ignorant of his devices. We don't need to go learn about Satan, but we need to be aware that he does use that around us to work and trick and deceive and tempt us. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We don't fight against him. We're to stand. We're to stand in that place that the Lord set us. And we as the children of the Lord that have been saved and added to Olmsted Baptist Church, this is where we're to stand. We are to stand in Olmsted Baptist Church. We are to stand in the things of the Lord, to stand in the Lord and proclaim him, proclaim his gospel, proclaim his will and way and word here in this place until Jesus comes. And an explanation and a clarification in verse 12 about this standing. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our fight isn't physically with the folks of the world. We should not engage in such because our fight is not physically with the people in the world. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities. We wrestle with the beginnings or the origins of things, the jurisdiction, the authority. This same word here, or this word principalities, this word powers, against powers, the seat of the ruling of the world, that is what we wrestle against. Everything that is of this world is against the way of God. And we need to realize that. And it is that which we stand against, that we fight against. Don't be suckered in by the way of the world. May God help us to see that. Because it will not work, the righteousness of God. We stand against these principalities. We stand against the root of that which is evil. We stand against these powers, these jurisdiction, the authority. This word powers here is the same word that the Lord uses in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, when he says, all power is given unto me. He has all that power, but in the earth and the way of the world and the working of Satan, there is that power that we stand and fight against. We need to stand against it. Stand against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. This word rulers is talking about Satan. Satan and his demons. That origin of sin is from Satan. That blasphemy that he works when he speaks, it's always blasphemous against the word, the Lord and his word. Always speaking blasphemy. Always accusing our brethren. Always working iniquity. He is the epitome of sin. The Lord of this world, these rulers, Satan and his demons, the prince of the age, the ruler of this world. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5 that our adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's who we stand against. We stand against and stand in the Lord. And by virtue of standing in the Lord, we stand against everything that is opposite of God. That's it. Against the evil. Against the other way. You know, there's two ways in this life. There's God's way and the other way. And the child of God that stands is going to stand for the Lord's way. And by virtue of doing so, is going to stand against the other way. How is it with you and me? He tells us here, we stand against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, iniquity, depravity in the souls of men, this spiritual wickedness in high places, the depravity of man upon the earth and the wickedness and depravity and waywardness of Satan and his demons, those angels that fell with him, feeding the depravity of man and feeding the wickedness of the world. That's what we fight and wrestle against, folks. And we need to see that. We need to see it. Verse 13. Wherefore? Because of that, take unto you the whole armor of God. And you've got to do it. You've got to take it. You've got to look to equip yourself for the warfare. We've got to look to equip ourselves for the battle that we face. Take the whole, the full, complete armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. This word evil is the same as when the Lord prayed in John chapter 17. He says, don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. Same word. Same word. Keep them from the evil. That we might be able to stand in that evil, wicked day. That we might withstand. That word withstand is talking about resisting, opposing, to set against. No, I'm not going that way. No, I'm not putting up with that. No, I'm not accepting that way in my life, in my home, in my family. No, we're standing for the Lord. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. The whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, to set, to stand still. Verse 14, stand therefore having, here's the armor, your loins girdled up with truth. That's the first part of the armor. The loins girdled up with truth. To gird one up, the scripture bears out that there are those when they would work in the scripture, and the Lord tells us about that and uses that to some extent, that one would gird up the loins to be able to work, to be able to run, to be able to pursue, to be able to work. We need to gird up our loins, what? With the truth. Not the lie. Not the wickedness and the philosophy of the world, but with the truth. We need to gird our loins with the truth. Otherwise, we'll be vulnerable there. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And having the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. The only way that a child of God, a man, woman, boy, or girl that's been saved by the Lord, the only way that we can have righteousness is first through that righteousness by imputation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That brings salvation. And then by the power of God working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen? Yeah, the breastplate of righteousness. Otherwise, if I don't have the breastplate of righteousness, I'm vulnerable. The child of God doesn't need to go about sinning. The child of God doesn't need to go about behaving like the world, behaving about the way that we used to behave before the Lord saved us. No, we need to behave and operate like Christ. I try to avoid using the word act, because we should not be actors, should we? No, but our behavior should be modified to that which would be pleasing to our Savior. The breastplate of righteousness, our loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness. How is it with you? Do you pursue the righteousness of the Lord? And then verse number 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. As you go, as we walk, as we stand, do we have the gospel of the preparation of the gospel of peace? How glorious and beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings, good tidings, the salvation of the Lord. Or do we have that? Do we have that? Is that preparation of the gospel on our feet, a shot on our feet, is that what makes us go? Is that what makes you go? Is that what makes you tell? Is that what makes us travel and walk that narrow way with the Lord? Loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, the shield. The shield isn't for guarding any particular part of the body, but it's flexible, isn't it? It can be put down low. It can be put up high. It can knock off a blow to the side or a blow to the front. It can be reinforcement to the armor that we already have on. It can block that blow to the head. It can be used even to be a fortifier when we get together with the other children of God and we put up our shields together and stand against the wickedness of the world. It was said that when Logan County became a wet county, that if the Baptist in the county would have stood up against it, we'd still be dry. But for money, she went the other way. And up in Cadiz, up there in Trigg County went wet. And an election just last year or the year before, Trigg County went wet just by some 30-some votes. And Trigg County is full of Baptist churches, full of churches. That shield that we have there, the shield of faith. Faith that the Lord can do the impossible. Faith in Him and in His power. Faith that God can do exceedingly above and beyond that which any of us can think. Do we have faith in Him? Faith in Him. I'm not talking about saving faith. I'm talking about walking faith. Well, I gotta do this because it just isn't going to work otherwise. Because God can't go that far. We got a lack of faith, don't we? May God help us in that. And then it goes on, what's it say here? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Again, that same word is evil up in verse number 13. The evil, wicked darts that are going to be thrown at us. In the Sunday school class, there at the end of Sunday school class today, we talked about the scorner. What is the scorner in the Scripture? The scorner is that one that's always railing against the one that's trying to do right, trying to follow the Lord, trying to be obedient. The scorner is that which wants to tear down and tear down and tear down that which is right and righteous. And may the Lord help us that we wouldn't be found in that crowd. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Without the helmet of salvation, it's all to no avail, is it? Without salvation, one can't even equip with the armor. One can, without the helmet of salvation, without the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to that sinner, without salvation through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, with the salvation of the soul from God Almighty, one can't even begin to prepare and equip themselves. You got to have the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation that guards against that blow, guards against that mortal wound to the head. Salvation. That helmet of salvation. The armor of the Lord. And what's it go on to say? Now, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. It's interesting that they're in the same verse, aren't they? The sword of the Spirit is what came and convicted the sinner and brought salvation. And put on that helmet of salvation and that sword, the Word of God. The Word of God. The only offensive weapon that we have are the words that the Lord has said. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Spirit will work through His Word. You know, the bringing out of the Scripture. The bringing out of the Scripture, and I've heard it from a brethren that have pastored churches and different things that they've run into and different folks that they've dealt with. Just by bringing out of the Scripture took care of a thing. Took care of a strife. Took care of a controversy. Took care of that sinner that is needing salvation and is convicted. The Word of God worked to bring and grant repentance. Because it's not in us, is it? It's in what God has said. And we say, thus saith the Lord. Not what I say or what you say, but thus saith the Lord. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Six parts of the armor, sanctified and covered over by praying in the Spirit. You see that there? What's it say in that next verse? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always. in the Spirit. You know what? The armor's not going to work unless the Lord doesn't blesses. The armor is not going to work. Who has issued the armor? The Lord has issued the armor. Who will bless the armor? It's the Lord that will bless the armor. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ, praying for the church, praying one for another, that their armor would hold up too, that we might be able to stand together in the Lord's church and do the bidding that he has for us to do till he comes. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then he interjects here, the apostle interjects here for himself. And this is what I ask that you pray for me. We pray one for another. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, that the Lord would use me, that the Lord would use you, that we would be able to take that sword and use it well, and that the Lord would move upon us, that we would have utterance of his gospel and his truth and his word, that we might be a witness to a lost and dying world as we stand in Christ. Don't stand for anything. Stand in the Lord and in the power of his might. Stand in the Lord. The way I envision that, if we stand in the Lord, we're immersed by the Lord, we're surrounded by the Lord, he will hold us up. He will sustain us, and we need to stand in him. And for me, that utterance might be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Speak boldly, speak clearly, speak truthfully the word of God, and that the Lord would take it and use it. I told you that the title of the message was The Armor of God and Being Entangled. I want you to turn over here to 2 Timothy chapter 2 real quick. Put on the whole armor. Put on the entire armor of the Lord. Pray to the Lord that he would work and bless. But be aware of a thing, brother and sister. Be aware of a thing that can happen to us. It can happen to us, and we can have any kind of combination of it. Any kind of combination of it, fully equipped in the armor of the Lord and entangled, or maybe half equipped and entangled. Look here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Well, Brother Jim, 2 Timothy is written to preachers. Yeah, it is. It is. But have we not, as the children of God, been admonished to put on the whole and complete full armor of God? Is there any one of us that the Lord has saved our souls and placed us in Olmsted Baptist Church that we should not equip ourselves in that armor? Isn't the indication of the connotation that we are a soldier for the Lord to stand and to fight against the wiles of the devil and to proclaim his word to a lost and dying world round about us? Yes, it is. And have we not been called by the Lord to such? It's the only way that one can do such a thing, is to be called. And what's the scripture say here? No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. That word entangleth means to inweave, to involve. It comes from the root words to weave in. No man that warreth weaves in himself with the affairs of this life. Why? Semicolon. There's going to be more explanation about it. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Amen. Been chosen to be a soldier. But you become woven in with the affairs of life. One's not being pleasing to the Lord, are they? Now back in Ephesians chapter 6, consider the armor and consider this admonition that we see here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Consider the armor, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, consider the whole armor of God. Stand therefore in verse number 14, having your loins girt about with truth. But maybe the entanglement is such that you really don't know what the truth is, because you haven't availed yourself to the Word of God to know what the truth is, to know what the Lord says about this or that or the other. You come up with things in life and you just don't know what to do because you don't know what the instruction of the Lord is to do. Have not become mature in the Word of the Lord to be able to discern even what the truth is. As Brother Bobby read this morning, Pilate had trouble knowing what the truth was, wasn't he? And I'm afraid in our day that there's many that claim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that don't know what the truth is. Entangled such that you can't girt your loins with the truth, because life, because you're entangled, we're entangled therein, it's pulling us away. And so we can't put on that armor. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So much entanglement, so much pressure by the world being yielded to, that we really don't know what the righteousness of the Lord is. So interwoven with the way of the world, which is not the way of righteousness, that we just don't comprehend what right and wrong is. We live in a day where evil is called good and good is called evil. And the child of God that's woven up in the world is going to have a hard time getting that breastplate on, aren't they? Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. A child of God in a shape, because of being interwoven so with the world to where they can't even tell about what the gospel is or what salvation is. Saddest thing in recent times that I ever faced was talking to a young lady and asking her about whether she was saved or not. And she said she was. And I asked her about the gospel. And she said, yeah, I said, do you know what the gospel is? She said, no. No. So interwoven with the world that we don't even have the preparation of the gospel of peace to where we can give it effectively. To tell about Jesus and what he did for us. To tell about the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people, and that he came to save repentant sinners that come to him. When we have the opportunity to witness, and instead we call the pastor so he can come do it. And I'm game to help you. But interwoven with the world, so. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. But we're so interwoven with the world and so entangled with the world, we can't even get the shield up. Because we've gotten used to doing things our way. We've got used to doing things the way things make sense, the way it makes sense to the world, the options that the world gives us. Those are the only ways that we can go. And we just don't have faith that God can do a thing, to even deliver us from that which looks impossible. I see the soldier there being equipped and the vines of the world growing up around and entangling the soldier. Nothing worse for a soldier than to get into a bunch of ivy and a bunch of vines and stuff. You can't even get the shield up. Can't even get the shield into position. The blow, the wiles of the devil are coming from this way, and because of that entanglement, can't even get it around there. Because so entangled with the world. Not able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. Praise God that's there, amen. Praise God that that's there, but maybe being so entangled that when the attack comes from a different direction, can't turn to face it head on, to stand against the attack. So interwoven with the world. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Being so entangled in those vines of the world and worldliness growing up around us that when it comes time to get the sword out, it's all bound up. I can't even get it out to use it. I haven't been taking care to sharpen it. I haven't been taking care to polish it. I haven't been taking care to practice with it. And when it comes time to use it, I can't get it to where I need to get it to. What's it going to say? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Left off praying. Left off getting serious with God. Left off talking to the Lord about the need of myself and my family. Left off talking to the Lord to open up His truth to me, to give me faithfulness with what He has shown me to do and given me to do, and asking Him for faithfulness and strength and power to follow Him in that I might go on and grow. But all tangled up. All tangled up. So when it comes time to pray because there's some crisis, then it feels like the prayers aren't getting any higher than the ceiling. Because I'm so interwoven with the world. The armor of God and being entangled. May the Lord help us that we would equip ourselves well, that we wouldn't be bound up with the world, that we take that sword of the Lord and that sword of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and we'd cut that entanglement away from us with what God says. And that we might put on that armor and that we not be bound by the things of this world. And we might serve the Lord and please Him very well. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, I want you to turn over here. Listen to the admonishment of the apostle to the preacher. And this would do us all well. But consider what he says here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Let's be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. The armor of God and being entangled. How is it with you and me? Do we have the old world growing up around us and pinning us down in the service of the Lord? Do we try to use this armor and because we're so bound up, we can't get it into position, we can't make it work, or we're not skillful with it? So may the Lord help us to see what's important. May the Lord help us to see what's eternal. May the Lord help us to see how He bids us equip ourselves, praying that He will work and bless in it. Amen. for you that are here and not saved, if you can't see it, we'll tell it to you plain. You don't have any armor. Because see, you're fighting in a force that's against God. You're fighting in an army whose leader does not even prepare his soldiers. He sends his soldiers out. He's the spirit of disobedience that Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we that are saved were subject to, like those that are not saved now are subject to, the prince and the power of the air and his working amongst men, mankind, women, men, women, boys and girls. He takes them and he just sends them out to be devoured. Sends them out to be devoured. Sends them out to be slaughtered. Ezekiel says that, and Ezekiel tells about Satan, that he has taken his people and he has destroyed them. You got no armor. You've got no future. You've got no hope. But we point you to our captain, amen, who is able to save your soul. Repent of your sins. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he may call you, that he would call you. That's our prayer, that he would call you, that you would hear him speaking to you, and that he would place that helmet of salvation upon you, that you might live for him, serve him, and know how it is to be redeemed to your Creator.